puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's Sunday morning, so that means it's time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So first off, remind us of the clue from last week.
I said that we're going to be talking today about the tragic story of George Atkinson and his wandering collection that was really quite for the birds.
Hmm. And who was George Atkinson?
George Edgar Atkinson. He was born in Toronto in 1870. He came to Manitoba at the age of 13. As an adult, he operated a taxidermy shop at Portage-la-Prairie. Now, in those early days, my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, was interested in natural history as well as cultural history. So some of our members would give presentations on Manitoba flora and fauna. Well, Atkinson was one of them. He was a passionate naturalist who gave talks on the bird species that he had seen here in Manitoba. He also made taxidermic mounts of songbirds and a whole host of other types of animals, and he exhibited his work at schools, at country fairs, at the Winnipeg Industrial Exposition. In 1901, he was put in charge of an exhibit on Manitoba wildlife for the Pan American Exposition that was held that year at Buffalo, New York. His exhibit consisted of things like moose heads, birds, raccoons, wolves, even a live black bear in a cage. You can't imagine what they would have thought of that back in 1901.
Wow.
For 3 months in the summer of 1906, he was a member of a biological survey crew that went out across Western Canada. It had been commissioned by the federal government, basically to learn more about the animal resources of this area.
Mm-hmm. And so you described his story as tragic. What do you mean by that?
Well, I said that because in 1913, at the age of 41, and I guess literally at the height of his career as one of Manitoba's most well-known naturalists, George Atkinson died. Apparently, every year he had traveled by boat downstream from Brandon to Portage-la-Prairie in the Assiniboine River. The idea was to observe birds along the way. Well, this year, 1913, traveling in a group of six men, he is believed to have suffered a seizure, he fell overboard, and he drowned.
And your clue referred to his wandering collection. What's that about?
Well, it wandered. That's certainly true. So throughout his life, George had sold and had traded taxidermic specimens with other collectors, with museums. Well, in 1913, the year after his death, his personal collection was acquired by a man from Brandon named Benjamin Hales. Now, he was a fairly well-known naturalist in his own right, but his day job was as the principal of what was called the Brandon Normal School. Basically, that was a facility for training teachers in that day. Like Atkinson, Hales was a keen birder. He loved to study the birds of Manitoba, but he was interested in plants too. And I think when he learned about Atkinson's death, he saw this collection that Atkinson had amassed as the raw material for a new museum. So after acquiring the collection, he established what was called the B.J. Hales Museum of Natural History. And he put it in the normal school at the building. Incidentally, that building still stands today. It's used as office space by the provincial government. Unfortunately, after being there for a number of years during the Second World War, the museum was packed up and moved out.
Why is that?
Well, in 1942, the normal school had closed permanently. Benjamin Hales had retired. The building was turned over to the Canadian military for their purposes during the war. And Benjamin Hales himself died in 1945. So the collection was kind of in limbo until it passed into the care of the Brandon School Board. They basically took it and packed it all up and stored it in the basement of two elementary schools in Brandon until 1948. When a school board employee named Frank Robb arranged to sort of reestablish the exhibits in some space that wasn't being used in the school board office. The general public could visit the museum on Sunday afternoons, and this went on for nearly 20 years. If you wanted to go and visit the museum, you could go to the school board office. Seems kind of an interesting, unusual place to go. But in the late 1950s, there was a proposal to move the collection to the provincial exhibition grounds, you know, which seems like it might have been a better place. it would become maybe it's sort of a tourist attraction there.
And did that happen?
Regrettably, no. Back at the school board office, the officials decided that they needed the space that was being occupied by the museum. So the specimens were boxed up yet again and stored away. There were several unsuccessful attempts to find a new home for the collection. Finally, a zoologist at Brandon College, which is, of course, today's Brandon University, named Richard Hanna, he finally arranged to move the collection over to the college on the understanding that the specimens would be made available for school classes and the general public, in addition to being used for instructional purposes at the college itself. So in 1966, the collection was moved to what was called the Mackenzie Arts and Library Building at Brandon College. New exhibits were designed, new display cases were built. They even hired a noted Brandon naturalist named John Lane to be the official curator of the museum. Lane was a well-known ornithologist who had established something called the Bluebird Line. That was a line of bird boxes that stretched all the way from Sydney, Manitoba, out to Broadview, Saskatchewan. Lane, well, he brought the catalog of the museum up to date. He added numerous specimens so that by the mid-1970s, the museum was really one of the best collections of birds, probably in Western Canada. It had over 500 birds on display, representing over 250 species.
Is the museum still there?
No. By the time I arrived at Brandon University in the late 1980s, I was a prof there. The Hales Museum was in an underground concourse leading to one of the campus residences. You know, it was open a few hours a week, mostly during the summer months, but my recollection is that it was not visited especially often. In 1992, the university announced plans to construct a new library building, and the basement of that building was going to be known as the Heritage Floor, because in addition to hosting the departments of archaeology and fine arts, it was going to host the museum. Now, this plan would not be executed until 2003, but it did move into the basement of this new building. But just 4 years later, the university announced that it needed the space that was occupied by the museum. So in 2009, after being in the university's care for 43 years, those collections were packed up yet again and returned to the school board. And they were put into storage in the basement of a nearby school. Remained there until 2013, when the collection was finally, we hope, moved to the Brandon General Museum and Archives, where it remains to this day. You know, I'm hopeful that these precious specimens that were collected by George Atkinson, in some cases over 100 years ago, now have a safe and maybe even final home after all those wanderings through the years.
Most definitely. What lessons can we learn from this case?
Well, two lessons, I think. The first is that there are early collections of Manitoba's natural resources that are exceptionally valuable in providing us with a benchmark for evaluating the impacts of environmental change. They tell us what was here in the past as a basis of comparison to what is here now and maybe what will be here in the future. You know, what sorts of plants and animals will be here when the global climate changes. The second lesson, I think, is that collections of all sorts all over Manitoba are in jeopardy due to some factors such as, you know, lack of stable funding for their ongoing care. Far too often, valuable items that are collected by passionate amateurs are lost when there's no provision made for succession planning. So, for example, you may have the best collection in the world of widgets, but unless you make provision for what happens to them when you're gone, it's conceivable that those widgets will disappear with you.
Well, thanks so much for that, Gordon.
You're welcome, Stephanie.
And what's up for next week?
Well, normally the places that we visit in this series are real. But next week, we're going to talk about fairies.
I look forward to it.
We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Talk to you then. Bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.